This conference is being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call on Monday, April 14th, 2008, the Heart of Memory. I welcome all of you to the call, those who are listening live and those who are listening to this as an archived recording. We are indeed recording the call tonight, so we will open up the lines for you to share your questions, share your stories. Just be aware that that is being archived for people to download in the future. And if you enjoy the call tonight and want to download previous HeartStart calls, you can do that by going to www.fiera, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A, Fiera.com/heartstart.html. So HeartStart calls are a free service that we here at Fiera offer the community once a week, every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, on the power of the heart as it relates to various topics. And tonight we'll be speaking about the heart of memory. Fiera is what we one day hope will be not only a household name, but a household experience. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling, a really positive feeling that you get inside your being when you feel good. And not only does feeling good feel good, it's good for you. Researchers from the Institute of Heart Math have been able to show that when we activate or access positive emotional states like care, joy, compassion even, right? Doesn't necessarily have to mean that life is good. It's not about that. It's not about getting everything in life to go your way. It's about the response you generate to it internally. And when you respond from what we would call a heartfelt place, a place of love or compassion or patience or care for yourself and for others, it turns out that that response has an impact on the heart rhythm, which then impacts every other aspect of your body's functioning. When you respond with a heartfelt feeling, it creates an ordered pattern in the heart, which then produces system-wide order in the nervous system. For we have a doctor on the call, so you'll know that the autonomic nervous system is in charge of 90 to 95% of all your body's functioning. So order in the autonomic nervous system is very significant for your health and well-being. An ordered heart rhythm yields order in your nervous system. It balances hormones. It opens up, activates, innervates, and energizes higher centers of the brain, higher perceptual centers responsible for thinking and verbal communication, problem-solving, visioning, foresight, creativity, innovation. It also enhances and is what we call adaptogenic to immunity. What does that mean? It means if you have a hyperactive immune system, you get allergies and you get autoimmune diseases, that it balances the nervous system, the immune system. And if you have compromised immunity, when you're stressed, you tend to get a lot of colds or flus. It actually boosts the immune system. So it's adaptogenic. If the immune system's out of whack to one direction or the other, it balances and harmonizes it. All that from a shift in your emotions that yields a shift in your heartbeat, which is why the tagline at HeartMath is, a change of heart changes everything. And why our tagline here at Fiera is making a difference for you and for others in a heartbeat. It also turns out that they've discovered a brain, a literal intelligence. And this discovery of a literal intelligence or a brain in the heart gets straight to or to the heart of tonight's topic. Right? In traditional Chinese medicine, they've always said that the mind and the spirit reside in the heart, not the head, not the brain and the head as we think of it. As a matter of fact, they see the brain and the head as little more than another functional organ like your liver or your kidneys or your bladder. That the brain and the head is actually simply informed by the heart and told what to do. And interestingly enough, new science is pointing in that direction, that there's a close link between intelligence and the heart, that this brain and the heart with its own intrinsic nervous system, almost like a GPS, if you will, that's constantly sending signals to the brain and the head. Only question is, are we tuned to them? Are we listening to them? Are we following them? Right? Is the only organ that has direct communication pathways to the frontal lobes of the brain, the higher brain centers. Right? So the heart and the brain work very closely together unless your heart is beating a chaotic rhythm. What do you think happens then to the communication between heart and brain if your heart's in a chaotic pattern? And just to say, we're getting background noise from someone. So if you're not speaking, what I'm going to invite you to do is press *6, and that will mute out your line. Great, thank you. And then if you want to share something, just press *6 again, and that will unmute you. So anybody want to offer up what they think happens to the communication between the heart and the brain when the heart is beating a chaotic rhythm? Apparently everybody's brains are shut down. They must be stressed. No, everyone must be muted. So it's like that. What happens is it mutes the connection. When the heart is creating static and cannot communicate with the brain, then you get just the mind chatter running in your brain, or those moments where you just can't think straight or you can't remember, right?
Yeah, Fiera, this is Sharon. Yes, that happens to me.
Describe it to us, Sharon. What happens to you?
Generally, if I'm not coherent in the heart, I'm not able to think very well, and I can at times even go into almost a panic mode. Not very pleasant.
Right. Now, most people on this call don't even have the vocabulary yet of being heart coherent. You want to define that for people listening who are brand new?
Well, basically what it means is that, as you were talking about, the heart beats erratically. Mm-hmm. It means when I'm stressed or highly tense that I can feel my heart beating faster. But that is when I'm stressed or have anxiety about something that I find that I can't focus very well. Mm-hmm. Creativity is blocked, certainly, that would allow me to find the answers to what I need.
Mm-hmm. And how's your memory in those moments, Sharon? Do you remember?
I have none.
Do you remember your things to do list, or do you remember the name of your customer that's standing in your bookstore?
Oh, sure, yeah. But
what about in those moments when you're stressed? Do you remember that person standing in the bookstore?
No, I actually don't. No, unfortunately, no.
Well, and you're not alone, right? This is why smart people do stupid things when they're stressed out.
Yes.
Because quite literally, you shut down the higher cortex of the brain, right, when you go into a stress reaction. Now, why would we do that? Doesn't that seem like an odd thing to do? Oh, I'm stressed. Here, let me turn off my brain. Why do we do that? By the way, 1,400 things occur in your body in a stress reaction. And the key piece to the HeartMath research is they found that we can shift those 1,400 things with one thing, your heartbeat. That in fact, the emotions are what stress generally is, not the circumstances, right? We said it's not about life going your way. It's about how you respond to however life goes. And when you respond with upset, like perfect example today, and we'll come back to why we shut down our brain in a second, right? I'm going to answer that question. Today I was squeezing a workout in between a very, very, very busy training schedule today. And so I got my workout clothes on, hopped in the car, managed to get out of a meeting in time to get my workout in, and started hearing a very strange noise. Not what you want to hear when you're in your car, right? My car started spluttering, and I was like, uh-oh, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I got out, and I had a completely flat tire. Now, my first reaction to that is, oh, I so wanted to work out. And then my next reaction is, oh, no, and I only have 45 minutes to work out, get home, to be there for my next client. Now what am I going to do? And I can feel my shoulders getting tense, and I'm giving myself a workout just sitting there behind the steering wheel going, what am I going to do? And I'm not moving. Now, I used heart math tools in that moment, was able to bring a sense of humor to the tension in my shoulders and the pit in my stomach, called AAA, the guy came, we got the car to the tire shop, it was walking distance from my house, was able to walk home in the beautiful, gorgeous Southern California, first day of summer it feels like today, and get here in time for my client, right? They fixed my car, I could walk back and get it. While I was in the business meeting on the phone, it all worked out. But in order to have the presence of mind to handle that situation, I needed tools to shift from the initial reaction. Where during that initial reaction, it didn't even occur to me that I was a member of AAA and AAA could help. Just wasn't even thinking. All I was doing was reacting. Right, and in those modes of reaction, then you start projecting worst-case scenarios. And all of that takes bandwidth. So there's two things going on. One, the stress dialogue itself, whether it's your stress about your flat tire or your taxes that are coming up due this week, right? Tomorrow's tax day. All of that takes bandwidth. Plus, we shut down, and this is very funny, right before I got on this call to talk about the heart of memory, my computer flashed a little signal at me saying something like, virtual memory is too low, shutting down system. Even computers are having an issue with their memories these days. So, bandwidth. Right? Where are we putting our attention? If you have a certain amount of RAM on your hard drive or your heart drive, as we're discovering, what do you want to spend it on? But then here's the other thing. What a strange computer we are that in the middle of the most stressful situation, we will shut down the majority of our RAM. We just close off our hard drive, kind of like my computer just did. Why do we do that? Why when I get a flat tire would I shut my brain off and forget that I'm a member of AAA? Sharon, you want to take a stab at that one? You're going to learn about this tomorrow in your beginner class.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
Well, when would it be to my advantage to tense my shoulders, tense my stomach?
Never.
Never? Are you sure?
Well, yeah, when you're protecting yourself, when you need to protect someone else.
That's right, when there's a literal life threat, right?
Right,
yes.
When
a lion is at your door, right?
Yes. Exactly. And so do I want to have access to the part of my brain that could assess what genus and species that lion is when he is about to pounce on me?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't want to be sitting there thinking about what genus and species the lion is. I just want to get, you know what, out of there. So this is our brilliant design. This is the irony. It's part of our intelligence that we shut down the parts of our brain that think when we're under a threat.
Now tell me this. Is a flat tire life-threatening?
No.
Do I need my brain to figure out what to do about that?
Yes.
Exactly. So this is the real issue. We're living in a time when our biology has not caught up to our technology. In other words, the vast majority of quote-unquote threats that we experience in modern day are psychologically threatening, not physiologically threatening. I was bummed I wasn't going to get my workout in. Big deal, right? It's not a life or death situation. However, feeling bummed about it, this is why feelings are so much more important than we give them credit for. Feeling bummed about it affects my heart rhythm, and that feeling through the heart rhythm communicates to my hormones, my nervous system, my brain, telling the rest of my body, guess what? There's something wrong. We don't know what it is, but she's upset. That's not good. We better pull out Amber Alert. Let's get the troops to the front lines and be prepared. Shut down the higher brain and get ready for some kind of threat. The place where I used to play this out the most was with customer service, right? Terrible. I mean, they were on the phone with somebody. They're not going to kill me. And then they'd ask me questions like, well, what's your social security number? And I swear I wouldn't be able to remember.
Yeah.
The simplest thing, right? So we're talking about memory here because when we're in a stress reaction, we shut down parts of the brain that remember. But the other key part of that is that we secrete excess cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And cortisol is implicated now in some of the diseases that are associated with memory, like Alzheimer's and dementia. Meaning cortisol in and of itself is not bad. But this, to me, is really a bandwidth issue. It's like you've got a certain amount of raw material. You've got a certain amount of money in your savings account. And either you're buying rejuvenation hormone with it or you're buying frontline defense hormone, stress hormone, cortisol. Rejuvenation hormone feeds sex hormone, growth hormone. It feeds neurotransmitters in your brain. It rejuvenates you in every sense. But if you're spending all of your budget on stress instead, that can be a direct compromise to your memory. And now the stats are showing us it's directly linked to degenerative disease like Alzheimer's and dementia. So there's no question that managing stress and tapping the heart's intelligence has direct implications for our memory. And one of the things we do in the beginner course is we talk in depth. This is what you'll get, Sharon, tomorrow night in the third series of the beginner course. For those interested, the next beginner course starts in 2 weeks, the first Tuesday of May. In that course, we outline specifically what parts of the brain remember what. So there's emotional memory. We'll talk tonight a little bit about how emotional memory works versus cognitive memory. Right?
That's great.
And how you can consciously get the two of them working together so that you can have a memory that serves you better. Because that's ultimately what this is about, is having a memory that serves you. You know, and I'll just tell you a couple of little stories here. One being that I remember, here we go. When I first showed up at HeartMath to volunteer for them, and that, by the way, is what we do here at Fira, we teach people the tools for accessing the intelligence in the heart, both the physiological intelligence, i.e. the heart's order, that then communicates order to the rest of the body, and also the cognitive intelligence, the heart's literal intelligence that's communicated to the brain. that GPS in the heart that is, from a Chinese medicine point of view, the source of memory. When we treat memory in Chinese medicine, we treat the heart. Isn't that interesting? Because they see that is where the brain is. That's where the seat of intelligence is. So we teach you how to access that with very methodical step-by-step tools that have been proven out by science, published in the American Journal of Cardiology and other prestigious papers, and taught in corporations and hospitals all around the world. And FEAR is a company that makes those tools and trainings available to you, the individual. So the first time that I ever went to HeartMath, I was an absolute stress mess, and I didn't know it. I had been suffering for 8 years with undiagnosed post-traumatic stress from living in a war zone. And I was a med student at the time, and I went to HeartMath on site to their laboratory and their business center to volunteer for my spring break for 2 weeks. And I'll never forget this, that they handed me a form to fill out because they needed to get all the information about their volunteers for tax purposes and security purposes. And I could not remember my own phone number. I sat with that volunteer application sheet in front of me for almost half an hour, literally brought myself to tears because I so felt that I had just lost my mind. That's how stressed I was my first day at HeartMath, right? And someone came and just sat with me and sent me heart. They were so compassionate and kind and patient, right? And in the presence of that very caring person, what happened? Well, we know that the heart, even when it's in a disordered pattern, the electrical field of the heart extends at least 8 feet beyond the body. So we're basically walking around in each other's heart fields all the time, which means we're influencing each other, which means the stress virus travels, right? You know that. You walk into a room and someone's really stressed out, you experience it's contagious. But the good news is that the contagion can also go the other way. We can literally be standing wave agents of peace, of care, of compassion, kindness, just in our presence, in the heart. So this person sat with me, and my heart started to entrain to theirs, I'm sure, and they calmed me down just by being there. They didn't say anything to me. And suddenly I remembered the first number of my phone number. Isn't this funny? Something so simple. And in remembering the first number of my phone number, it was like it cracked open a code, and the rest of the number was there. All I needed was the first number. And in that is a key to accessing memory. But, and yes, absolutely significant for things like studying for tests, right? If you can give yourself, it's like my new telephone has all my contacts in it, right? And all I have to do is enter like the first two letters of somebody's name and it brings them up. Our memories work the same way. So if you're studying for an exam or if you want to remember the names of your clients or your patients or your, you know, if you have something specific,
your kids,
yeah. Well, if you're forgetting the names of your kids, then you've got some cortical inhibition and you need to take our heart math class.
I am.
That's beautiful, Lauren. But yeah, it's like the thumbnail that you click on, right? That then brings up the rest of the document to your memory. So giving yourself thumbnails for things is a really wonderful way to remember them, especially if those thumbnails are related to emotion. We've already outlined how sensitive the heart is to emotion and how the heart in traditional medicines is linked to memory. Right? So much so that, I didn't write about this in the invitation, but in fact, they've found that when they do heart transplants, you guys know this, that the recipients receive the memory of the donor.
Wow. Incredible.
This is so What was that?
Is it a conscious thing? Do they actually?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So much so that, in fact, there was a little girl that received the heart of a murder victim, and she remembered the murder.
Oh, my God.
To the degree of specificity that it was accepted in a court of law and used for execution, and the murderer was convicted.
And that was legally, oh, wow.
Yes, based on the heart's memory of the event.
How does that happen?
Because the memory's in the heart. We think it's in the brain. It's in the heart.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Can I ask you a question, Sheva?
Yeah, please.
You know, I'm sure we've all had this experience where, like, I can't remember something, like a name or a number or a detail or something, and then when I completely stop thinking about it or I'm falling asleep at night, it'll just pop into my head.
Right, because you're more coherent.
Okay, yeah.
When you're not thinking about it or when you're not in stress about it,
right.
Or as you're falling asleep, right, ideally in a rejuvenative sleep, your heart is going into a coherent pattern, an ordered
mm-hmm.
pattern.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then your brain is going to work more clearly. The static has been removed from the line.
Hmm.
But what we teach you how to do, as you guys know who are in the beginner course, or you, Lauren, are in the Heart Mastery Program and the intermediate course, is we teach you how to remove the static from the line without having to sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can remove the static from the line anywhere, anytime. And that's significant for not just, you know, standard memory lapses, but people with brain trauma. In the invitation that I sent out for this call, I referenced two HeartMath champions, one of whom is now a HeartMath provider herself, who was in a car accident and suffered severe brain damage, such that she would be standing in the grocery store or driving her car and not even remember where she was or where she was from or who she was. And initially she would go into states of panic around that, and then she learned to use the quick coherence tool that you guys learned in the beginner course. And that would bring enough order to her system that she would remember who she was and where she lived and could get herself home. Another very moving account of that is a woman who's been practicing heart math probably about 15 years. And she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which was creating lesions in her brain such that she lost her ability to speak, almost like mini strokes. And so she couldn't, it wasn't like she could understand what people were saying to her, but the part of her brain that could access language to speak it back couldn't find the words. And so she felt kind of locked in, if you will. And she started using the quick coherence tool, just accessing that heart intelligence. And she said she could just watch the words reappear on the, you know, like the desktop of her mind, like a book opening. So this ability for the clarity of the heart to help with the neuroplasticity of the brain and the heart-brain communication for all kinds of memory, whether it's long-term degeneration you're looking at preventing or recovery of memory after a trauma, or just remembering your own phone number when you're stressed. The heart and the heart math tools are incredibly powerful for that. Now, I want to pause here and see if there are any questions, because I want to shift to a new chapter in a moment, which is, what about memories you don't want to have? Right? Some people come to me because they're plagued by memories that they don't want to be, they don't want those memories to keep coming back. Memories of trauma or memories of abuse. Again, it's a bandwidth issue, right? If you're holding emotional memories locked in your system that cause you to react to situations with a stress response, that's bandwidth stolen from your ability to remember details and things you want to remember. So learning how to dump files, right? dump unnecessary memories or memories that bog us down is also very valuable for being able to restore and enhance memory. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But before we do, any questions about this brain enhancement component, removing static on the line between the heart and the brain as a source of accessing more proficient memory and creating thumbnails to be able to unveil the full page of your memory? Any questions about what we've talked about so far? Make sure you star 6 to unmute your line if you do have a question or if you want to share a story of your own. Okay, well, is it interesting to talk a little bit about dumping files, letting go of memories that don't serve us so we can have more RAM for what does?
Let's do.
So if we were to oversimplify for a moment, forgive me for the scientists on the call, but just for lay people to gain some understanding of how this works, let's oversimplify the brain and divide it into three categories. So there's the hindbrain or the brain stem, which is designed primarily for base physical survival and has a vocabulary of two things, approach, avoid. I will eat you, you will eat me, and I will run away. Or I will approach you and we will procreate together. Spring, there's lots of that going on. Okay, then emotions evolved into the midbrain, which mammals took on, as a survival adaptation, as a way to approach and avoid better. So you scare me, therefore I will run away from you faster. You piss me off, therefore I will attack you better. And so on, right? Or also emotion was for bonding, because as we reach the mammalian phase, mammals needed... their children didn't just hatch fully grown. They needed rearing. So there had to be an emotional bonding for the proliferation of the species, the protection and exchange of care that would allow children to make it through to adulthood. And so emotions kicked in, and along with them, a little sort of almond-shaped organ in the brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala was responsible for emotional memory. Now, Sharon, Lauren, anyone, why would it be to our advantage to create emotional memories? She's thinking that emotions originally were designed to help us survive even better.
Well, emotional memories, I have a lot of emotional memories that are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to always have those.
Uh-huh. Do you have any emotional memories that hijack you?
Yes,
I do. Into a stress reaction?
Yes.
And do those serve you?
No.
Okay. So let's imagine, though, that your body's not stupid, that it's brilliant. Okay.
It is, yes.
Yes. So why then would you create a gizmo, or why would a gizmo get created in you to hold on to negative emotional memories? What advantage would that give us?
As a protective device, so that you remember the next time the lion comes to your door that it was a dangerous experience and you better get out of there again or do whatever it is that you did last time.
That's right. Or not do what your Uncle Harry did that got him eaten.
Right.
So it's brilliant for our survival. It's a very fast emotional recognition. It's like the amygdala is out there scanning and sniffing all the time. What's dangerous? What's dangerous? Right? And it's reacting off of things unless the heart is signaling to the brain that we're safe and all is well. And then we can afford to take things through our higher cortex and our heart intelligence and assess them more accurately and directly for what they are right now. So these emotional memories can really trip us up. We call it amygdala hijacking. Right? Even in the positive sense, they can trip us up. If you, you know, it's like the way I think of the amygdala is like the baby boot and the rubber duck, or the not the rubber duck, the baby boot and the little chicky implant, the imprinting. You know, these stories of farmers. My great-grandfather was a Nebraska farmer. He used to love to tell me stories about, my grandmother would, that if the baby chicks were born, right, and the first thing they saw was my great-grandfather's rubber boot walking by, mm-hmm. they'd imprint on that as mother. And then they'd follow the boot around everywhere it went, and they'd curl up on the boot on top of it to go to sleep at night, right? Because they fixated an emotional memory or association to the boot as mother. And this is what we do. We fixate on our emotional memory, and we lose our discernment when we do that, right?
Yes.
But that also takes bandwidth away from the accuracy of our memory.
Yes.
And so being able to bypass those amygdala hijacks is crucial to being able to tap into the caliber and potential of your real memory from the heart and higher brain. And the tools we teach at HeartMath are all designed to help you bring that order to the heart and order to the brain so that you're not just a mechanical, pre-programmed robot that's following rubber boots around, but that, in fact, your perceptions of life and your memories are active and accurate and alive. And so this becomes very significant. Let's ground this in something practical for people in their stress in life. Very significant for anyone who's had any kind of trauma or abuse. We had a call where we talked about this in depth for those who want to visit the Heart Start page about sexual abuse and sexual trauma and how debilitating that can be for them, people to have beautiful memories of their sexuality or beautiful experiences here and now, and that can be bypassed. You can overcome the traumatic memories hijacking your current experience by learning to use the tools to help you come out of a hijack in the amygdala and come back into the heart. And when you do that, think of all the bandwidth that frees up, right? So you're not holding on to this bandwidth that was originally put in place as a software system to help keep you alive, but now it's not relevant to that. It just steals your energy and your focus and your attention from your, what we call Sierra now. Sierra being, again, that great feeling of living a fulfilled and vital and healthy life. And so it is possible, without having to stomp in the swamp of negative memories, which tend to reinforce them in your nervous system, your brain, your heart, it is possible to heal things simply by learning to create greater and greater ratios and levels of coherence in your system. What a relief that is. So you can free up bandwidth for the memories that that serve you, rather than living from survival pattern memories that steal your attention. In a moment here, I want to open up the call for any specific questions that anyone might have around memory or any stories of your own that you want to share. And just make sure that if you have a question or a story that you want to share, that you press *6 to unmute the line. We can address specific memory issues. Or any other questions that anyone has about the heart or HeartMath training or the trainings that we offer here at Sierra and how you can tap into that. This connection between emotions and memory, especially at the amygdala where we have the emotional memory, is something that you can also learn, you know, as a student when I was taking many, many, many long and intense exams.
It's something that you can learn to take advantage of. So that I found that, have you noticed that smells bring back memories? Or songs? So when I was a student, it's because of the emotional association to that and the fact that smell is the only sense that goes straight into the midbrain with no bypass. So I found that I could condition my brain and heart to remember certain things by using the HeartMath tools and having certain aromatherapy going in the room when I was studying or having certain music playing. And then all I would need to do is remember the song in order to remember the information. Because the song would help me get coherent, right, and train even clear rhythm. It would also bring me joy, so that would create the order in the heart rhythm. And then I would create what are called neural associations, the song to the information. And it was like that thumbnail access code that would help me open up the information that was there. So when we understand how our internal software works, we can consciously work with it to our advantage. And that's what the HeartMath tools offer and what we teach here at FIERA. And if there aren't any questions or stories to share, I'll just let you know briefly about the programs that we do offer here. There are two ways that people can go through our program. One is with a la carte services. They can take classes on a month-to-month basis. The beginner class is a webinar that runs 4 weeks. And then there's an intermediate course, an advanced course, a class called Heart Blueprints, and so on. It just keeps going and deepening. And each class is, though, a complete amount of information unto itself, where you get a discrete amount of tools and science that you could use and that all by itself would definitely help you to change your life. In addition to those classes, which are webinars that happen once a week or that you can download and stream at your leisure, in addition to those classes, we also offer physiological testing, which you can do in the privacy of your own bathroom. You just spit in a tube and pee in a cup, and we can actually check your stress hormone levels and your rejuvenation hormone levels and all your neurotransmitters. So that allows us to make really informed decisions about how to support you to come into greater balance. We offer private coaching as well and retreats and, gosh, it seems like so much, as well as a biofeedback technology called the M-Wave developed by HeartMath, which actually shows you in real time your heart rhythm in front of you. There's a computer version which allows you to save your sessions and track your progress over time. And I really recommend that for people who are wanting to improve their memory. I don't know, we may open up the line and have some Heart Mastery members here share their experience of using the M-Wave. They have the handheld device, which is like a little stress iPod, and it, in real time, just like the computer version, tracks your heart rhythm before your very eyes, coaches you into a more ordered and coherent state so that you get all the benefits of coherence that we've been talking about. So you can take part in those services a la carte in that way, and we also have a program called Heart Mastery. And the Heart Mastery program, I can't say it without smiling, it's such a gift to get to participate in for myself, is a year-long course. You make a year commitment. What with that year commitment? For essentially the same price as 1 month of courses each month. You get unlimited access to all the courses each month, as well as a private coaching call once a month, as well as quarterly lab tests included in, as well as the M-Wave. It's all part of one package. In addition, you also get a weekly call with the members only where we share about things like the heart and memory or the heart as it relates to many other things, but at a deeper level than we can in these Heart Start calls, because at that stage everyone has tools and ways to tap into the heart's power and intelligence. So So that's an overview of the services we offer here. And if anybody has questions, if you're listening to this as a recording, the beginner courses all begin the first Tuesday of every month. And you can take the first class for free. You can register for that on the homepage of our website, which is F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com, Sierra.com. And we do these free Heart Start calls every Monday. You can be on the mailing list. There's a place on the website, Sierra.com, where you can sign up for the mailing list. And you can hop onto our mailing list there as well, or participate in these calls every Monday. You can call us as well if you have questions at 310-581-1507. So in these last 5 minutes here, I'll just open up the line, star 6 to unmute yourself if you'd like to say goodbye, or if we have any Heart Mastery members or people who've taken classes that want to share your experience or any stories you have about how this has affected your memory. No, everyone's staying muted this evening. Well, thank you all so much for joining me. It is delightful to be here, and if I can be of any further assistance, definitely do contact us. Next week's Heart Start call, we're going to interview Regina again. Some of you were participated in that call. We talked about the heart of cooking, and it is the way to somebody's heart, really, through their stomach. Turns out in Chinese medicine, there is a direct link between the stomach and the heart. We're going to talk about that next week and get more fabulous recipes from Regina and talk about how to bring heart to eating and to cooking and nurturing yourself at that level. Thanks, and I look forward to joining you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, Shiva.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.